Welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto. Today we have another episode to talk about a dominant performance from Chase Sexton in the 450 class, and then when we get to the 250 class, Deegan opened his mouth again, and well, some people like it, most people don't. Shocker, it's Hayden Deegan. He irritated people. That is what he does best, though, so can't expect really anything different from him. So, yeah, let's just jump right into it here with our 450 class. I don't think there was too much that went on in between the races. In between Red Bud and this Spring Creek race in Millville, where the Martins own the track, but I don't think there was anything exciting happened between the two races that I didn't cover. I know the Colt Nichols stuff kind of started the pop up, but I was able to cover that in the last episode. So I think we'll just jump here right on into the 450 qualifying, because they did go first to get that first moto hour in on big NBC. And of course, with them doing that, we saw, well, I shouldn't say of course, because for the first time in a while, we didn't see a Lawrence or a Sexton on top in qualifying. We saw an El Hombre. We saw Jason Anderson topping the 450 qualifying with a 206.566, followed up almost a full second faster than Hunter Lawrence in second place with a 207.437, and then Justin Cooper in third, and your points leader Chase Sexton in fourth with a 207.935. 1.369 seconds off of Jason Anderson's pace. I know after qualifying, Sexton said he was a little too aggressive in qualifying, didn't quite let the track come to him, which I honestly feel like that's probably something that he's doing very good as of late, just really just letting the track and race come to him as it goes. So it was real cool to see Jason Anderson take the top spot in qualifying, something that we haven't seen too often as of late. So now jumping down here to the 250 class, we saw for the second week in a row, we had Tom Viel as our fastest qualifier with a 207.225, and that would have put him second place in the 450 qualifying with a 207.225, which just over a second and a half above second place Levi Kitchen, who was 1.65 seconds behind with a 208.880. And then Joey Savacci third, Chance Hymus fourth, and the points leader Hayden Deegan qualified fifth with a 209.582, 2.3 seconds off of Tom Viel's leading pace here. So obviously Hayden didn't really have it from the very beginning of the day here. So I don't know, I've just noticed some weird things going on with him lately. Mistakes. Yeah, he's had the raw speed at points, but he's also had quite a few mistakes. And yeah, and he made some more over this last weekend. So now jumping into 450 Moto number one, we had none other than Hunter Lawrence once again grabs the hole shot. Chase Sexton, probably one of his best starts of the year so far. He was in third place off the start, right behind his Red Bull KTM factory racing teammate Aaron Plessinger. And then, yeah, so Hunter, Plessinger, Sexton, and then Anderson were your top four. Justin Cooper, known good starter, used the more traditional knobby style tire for Moto number one when he was the only one to do that. They were saying everyone else on the line had the scoop paddle kind of tire. I guess more scoop, because a paddle is completely different. But Justin Cooper, only one with a normal motocross knobby style tire there and not the scoop style. So obviously he's getting out, out drove. Doesn't have quite the hookup in the deep starts for these races. And that proved to be very big for him, especially in the second moto, which, of course, we will get there eventually. But started off, Hunter was not able to really get a gap from Sexton and Aaron Plessinger. I'm not sure if the Lawrence brothers have their same kind of thought process when leading on. It's, hey, get three to four second lead, just kind of hold it there, save the energy, no matter Moto 1 or Moto 2, seems like that's what they always do. I could be a rapper, who knew? I just did it again. Look at that. I am an absolute genius. But anyway, Hunter wasn't quite able to pull a gap from Plessinger and Sexton. Sexton was not letting Plessinger pull away. And yeah, the pressure might have shown. Oh no, that was a different moto. Never mind. Yeah, right before the big, like, almost 500 foot. Also, never knew how tall that Mount Martin was there until they did the little graphic or whatever comparison thing to taller than such and such things. Suckers, Mount Martin's almost 500 feet tall. Did not realize it was that tall watching it on TV until this past weekend. So that was really cool to put that into some perspective, I should say. But yeah, right before that right-hander, right before they head up the hill, Sexton was able to go in, slide inside on his teammate and take over second place, and then set his eyes on the number 96 of Hunter Lawrence, which, watching it now, Sexton got past Plessinger in the corner before Mount Martin, and then by the time they got to the top, Sexton was already all over Hunter Lawrence. So that just shows the amount of ground in the just straight up raw speed that Chase Sexton has been riding with since Moto 2 in Southwick. So, I mean, at this point, he won three motos in a row, obviously that Moto2 Southwick, 1-1 at Red Bud, points lead. So he's got the confidence, and he's just straight up riding with that raw speed. And then Mount Martin comes back into play a little bit later. Sexton right on Hunter Lawrence. First, they were playing this little yo-yo game for a little bit. Sexton would pull in. He had this really cool triple line through the, like, monster rollers or whatever the heck they were called. Little sand whoops, sand rollers, where everyone was just doubling. Sexton was keeping the back tire on the ground, and then he was dropping into one and tripling towards the end of the first section of them. And that was allowing him to pull up really close to Hunter Lawrence. I thought maybe he was going to be able to get a pass there with Lawrence struggling in that section all moto, all day, really, both motos. But, yeah, really thought that's where Sexton was going to be able to get the move done, but he wasn't quite able to do it, so he had to take it to Mount Martin, gets to the very top of Mount Martin, kind of jumps inside a little bit on Hunter Lawrence. He had the inside line going all the way up the mountain. And then when they get to the top, Chase just doubled into the corner, kind of pushing Lawrence wide a little bit. And that's how Sexton was able to take the lead. And, yeah, it was really game over at that point. Sexton was able to pull a big gap very fast, take over the entire race. That was, what point did he make the pass? With 9 minutes, 30-ish seconds left, he made the pass and never looked back. He was able to control the race, win by 10 seconds over Hunter Lawrence, and Sexton's teammate Plessinger comes in third, 28 seconds back, and then another 12 seconds behind Plessinger was Jason Anderson, and then Justin Cooper, like I mentioned, the only one with the knobby style tire off the start. Proved to be very important, because where did he start exactly? But he finished in sixth. He started in eighth. So he started in eighth, finished in sixth. Wasn't quite able to get the passes made that he needed to, with just being buried so far off the jump. So Sexton, number four, makes it four in a row with a first moto win at Spring Creek in Millville, Minnesota. So at that point, I was thinking my prediction for a Hunter Lawrence win might be pretty difficult with the way I saw Sexton just straight up drop Hunter Lawrence in that first moto. So, taking a look here now at 250 moto number one, where we had a little bit more of a resurgence in Levi Kitchen coming about, who obviously had the good final moto in Red Bud. But Hayden Deegan was the one who pulled the whole shot. We all know the power of them star bikes. Deegan pulls the whole shot with Casey Cochran right behind him. And then it was, I think that was Masterpool and Levi Kitchen right behind them also. And then, like I mentioned, Deegan making more mistakes lately. going down, stalling the bike, spinning it out. That happened. All that happened in Red Bud. And now here in Spring Creek, does the same thing all alone and just going into a right-hand turn, goes to the inside and looked like his front wheel just pushed over the edge of the rut, and it was game over for him from there. Goes from first, gets passed then by Levi Kitchen and Tom Vial. So, Deegan making a lot more mistakes than what we saw in the beginning of the year. I'm not sure. Because the beginning of the year, when he had Vial all behind him, he was crashing still. And now, this last time, he had really nobody pressuring him, and he still crashed. I'm wondering if he's going to blame that crash on the rut or if he's going to take accountability for it. I haven't quite seen it yet. But anyway, he then had to deal with Shimoda. Now I'm kind of confused myself a little bit here on my notes. It says Shimoda last, Deegan in sand rollers. I'm going to assume that was supposed to be past, and I done jacked up a little bit there. But, Yeah. So, Shimoda gets by Deegan in the sand rollers. I think Shimoda is a little bit taller, so he might have a little bit more leverage than little Hayden Deegan's got. So, able to make that happen. And then sticking in the sand rollers, Shimoda looked like he picked up on the Chase Sexton triple line through them sand rollers. That's how he was making, that's how he was able to make the pass on Tom Vial, and then quickly got up on Levi Kitchen to do some battling there. But that was not able to happen. They had a little battle. Shimoda got a little unlucky, I should say, with Lapper's once again. Lapper just straight up cut him off, left him no room to go. Lapper was, in a battle with somebody else, but there's blue flags. Not sure how that happens, but seems like the last couple weeks, the Lappers have been really bad. They were bad for the 450s at Red Bud, and now they were, seemed like they were pretty bad for the 250s here in Spring Creek. So then Shimoda lost his time, kind of lost his toe to Levi Kitchen, and then he had to deal with Tom Vial, which, jumping back onto the start straight, Tom Vial went to the outside, jumping onto the start straight, which then set him up for the inside of the first turn. That's how he was able to make the move on Joe Shimoda, and that's where Tom Vial did finish in second place in the moto. And then I think Deegan got a little lucky by, top of Mount Martin again, just like the 450s. We had some more action here in the 250s. Deegan made a pass at the bottom, got by Shimoda. Shimoda kind of came in behind him, going up Mount Martin, moved himself to the inside, and then just cut straight across all the ruts and gave Deegan a little bit of business there. Nothing bad. I'm not sure if they even really touched. Deegan might have seen him coming and didn't turn down into him, because, you know, that would have been Shimoda's fault as well for Deegan turning into him. But Shimoda then Lapper. I tweeted this out during the race. I think Shimoda might have some of the worst luck. What'd I say? Shimoda might struggle the most with lappers and bad luck with them. I'm sticking to that. And all 44 people that saw it hopefully agreed. But who knows? I think Shimoda might have some of the worst luck when it comes to lappers. That's how Deegan got by him for third place. And then, Deegan making more mistakes, but he was able to hang on to third place because Shimoda had another little incident with the lapper kind of getting in his way and messing up his rhythm. So Levi Kitchen now wins back-to-back races because I'm 90% sure he won the Red Bud Moto number 2. So now Levi Kitchen's got 2 in a row. Looks like he's coming on strong once again. I know we all know how strong he was in the beginning of the year at the first round, coming off the close Supercross race, and then he said bike was just too soft, started to struggle really a bit. And really, he said he really just got lucky at the first round with Paula being the slowest racetrack on the circuit. And then these last, 6 rounds then have just been a pain in his butt to deal with how soft he had the bike set up. So, yeah. So I guess we can jump right on in here to 450 Moto number 2, where Justin Cooper this time he did have the paddle tire on, and that obviously made his start quite a bit better, where he actually decided, hey, I'm gonna go on and grab a hole shot. Chase Sexton didn't get the best of jump. He's definitely had better before. He's also had worse before this year. He also did almost go down in the very first corner. He got a little sketchy. Who is that? I think it was Ferrandis there. Kind of slides out. Was it Ferrandis or Hunter? Ferrandis. That's who it was. Looks like he kind of back tire kind of drifted a little bit. Almost got into the front wheel of Sexton, but Sexton was able to hit the brakes real quick and stop that from happening, really. And then at the end of the first lap, Sexton was in sixth, and my Hunter Lawrence prediction that I made, I thought, hey, I might have a chance at this sucker with Sexton being in sixth, Hunter Lawrence up there in second place right behind Justin Cooper. Thought maybe I'll have a good shot at it, but yeah, I didn't. I should have known. I didn't have a chance. But Sexton started making some moves. Gets up behind his teammate Plessinger. And Plessinger was pushing, trying to get past Dylan Ferrandis. Tries to go sneak up on the inside. Just kind of loses everything, really. Tires go sliding out. And Sexton was able to get by. Plessinger went all the way back to ninth, I think. I want to say fell back to ninth when that crash happened. But yeah, that kick started Sexton's chase towards the top. Made myself chuckle there. Kick started Sexton's chase. Yep, you get it. Towards the top of the leaderboard here. And then he used a pretty pretty nifty move on Dylan Ferrandis, where it was kind of a little slingshot action, going from outside, cutting down to the inside, being able to get past Dylan Ferrandis that way and take over. That was third place there. So really thought at this point, obviously thought, hey, Sexton was a moving. We all know how fast he can be. He's definitely proven it with let's take a look here back at Moto 1 lap times. Fastest laps, Sexton ran a 207.15. Only two other guys were in the 207s. And only one of them was faster than Sexton. That was Hunter Lawrence with a 207.10. So 5/100ths of a second faster than Sexton. Just shows the speed that Sexton has been able to even carry during the races, when normally you might see lap times suffer a little bit during the races compared to just one absolute heater in qualifying. So Hunter Lawrence was then making moves up on Justin Cooper. He was all over him. He used a little bit of contact to get past him. And then stuff started coming undone for Justin Cooper a little bit. Not too bad, though, but Sexton did just straight up blow right past him in the first little roller section. Was able to shut the door then, going inside into that next corner right before the next roller section, when Sexton at that point then set his eyes once again on the 96 of Hunter Lawrence, where shortly after, probably about two laps later, right before they went into the roller section, there was a little tabletop, left hand into a tabletop. The inside of that corner had a little hump in it. Hunter just went to the outside, basically just giving Chase Sexton the lead. And James Stewart even said that Hunter just let him by, which is definitely what it seems like. And then after one lap, Sexton was able to pull out a 4.7 second lead. So that just shows that the straight up speed that Chase Sexton has been working with here the last couple of rounds, he wasn't even able to get his little triple through the sand rollers like he had been on that lap. Well, almost. Probably about framed that triple, where he just barely scrapes the frame on the top of that landing jump. And then about 2 minutes left, Justin Cooper put in a charge towards Hunter Lawrence, because Chase Sexton was just straight up gone in this sucker. Justin Cooper put a little bit of charge left in, makes a mistake, goes off track in the sand rollers. That kind of does it for his race. Cements him in third place in the race, cements Hunter Lawrence in second place in this race, and then, of course, we had Chase Sexton going 1-1 first in this race. So, now, taking a look at the, also, a couple other things. There's lightning strikes that started to happen with about two laps left in this race, so I kind of thought they might red flag it depending on how bad it gets and how frequent it gets. I know Sexton said, I think he said he saw three of them, And he said he thought the first one was just a camera, and then the second two were even brighter than that. So he knew that the lightning was coming. And then on the last lap, you could hear the rain. You could see it looked like just big old raindrops started coming down on this racetrack. And yeah, I'm sure 450s were happy they went first in this weekend, didn't have to deal with the rain for much more than just one lap. So yeah, Sexton wins by 12.9 seconds. So he's just straight up gone out there and dominated, just proving that this is now his championship to lose, throwing it all down, winning the last five motos, going 1-1 the last two weekends. Very impressive stuff from Chase Sexton. It's gonna be cool to see if he can hang on, which don't want to speak too soon, but he went into Red Bud down by 3, comes out of Spring Creek up by 13 on Hunter Lawrence. Obviously, there's no Jet Lawrence, so Hunter Lawrence is really the big main competitor that that he needs to deal with from now on. Also, something I noticed, Jason Wygant loves saying where Harry Kulas is from. Out of Estonia. I don't know why, but it seems like every time Harry Kulas out of Estonia gets mentioned, he's got to throw in the out of Estonia. So, and also he always throws in the over here racing for points for SMX and all that. His little corporate jargon that he's got to throw in there. That was just something random that I noticed, that Harry Kulas out of Estonia over here for the SMX, trying to make the playoffs, all that. So yeah, I guess we will take a look at the points now. I know I just said Sexton is now up by 13, excuse me, over Hunter Lawrence, and then Justin Cooper is now in third place, 61 back, 10 in front of Aaron Plessinger in fifth, fourth. Rounding out your top five is Jason Anderson, 89 points of Chase Sexton, and then of course Jet Lawrence will continue to fall backwards. So next weekend, I'm assuming he's going to get passed up by Ferrandis and Malcolm Stewart, who are 6 and 25 points behind him. So, also something interesting that I've thought of looking at SMX points. As long as Jet Lawrence comes through and can race the 3 SMX races, he will still have more points this year going into the playoffs this year, even with being hurt half of the motocross season, than he had going in last year with only racing the motocross. Obviously, he was the 250 West Coast champion in Supercross last year. Then came in, dominated 22-0, all that in motos. So he will still have more points. So he can still come in and win this, even if he's kind of maybe a little buried in SMX points at least. So now taking a look into 250 Moto number 2, where we had a little bit of a rain delay. I think it was, gosh, I don't even know how long. I didn't even really pay attention to how long it was. There's a long, well, not rain delay, long lightning delay happened with after the downpour of rain. But it seemed like the rain stopped pretty soon after the 450s finished. Heck, it was done by the time the 450s went up and got their trophies. The rain was done. And from TV watching wise, from good old TV land, it did not seem like it rained anymore there. At least they didn't mention any more rain coming down there in between that. But there was a pretty long lightning delay. So once we got racing, boy, did we have a pile up. And Hayden Deegan was involved. Joe Shimoda was involved. Chance Hymus was the centerpiece, I guess I could say and call it. Even though he was out front, didn't actually go down. But if you watch it, Chance Hymus pulls a good start. Has control, you would think, going into the first corner, being in the lead. His front tire kind of starts to push a little bit. So he throws his, what is that, his right leg down or out or dabs it, taps it, dabs it, whatever you want to say, on the ground. It catches, throws his foot back into Hayden Deegan's front tire. That caused Hayden Deegan to then go flipping through the air, land uninjured. His bike was in good shape at this point, but then riders just kept on coming. And then a little bit late, someone came out of nowhere and just ran up the back of Deegan's bike, bent his exhaust, about 90 degrees the wrong way. He was sticking out the side of the bike and not the back. He runs up, kicks it. While all this is happening, Casey Cochran goes out there and I think he technically got the hole shot because they had the line is at a different spot, but it's a weird hole shot setup. But Chance Hymus then pulls off the track due to that with an ankle injury. There's a little update here. Hymus says, ankle is pretty banged up, but going to do what I can to be ready for Washougal. So good thing it's not that torn ACL. That didn't get re-aggravated or nothing. It was an ankle injury that happened when he dabbed his foot and he got thrown backwards into the little Hayden Deegan's bike. So, what else happened in there? All this is going on. Cochran gets the hole shot. Hymus is out. Shimoda pulled into the pits. They were looking at his front tire, front wheel, brake area. They thought he was okay. They send him back out. He eventually then has to go back in, gets a new front tire because his front brake disc was all bent up. They said they didn't catch, Lars Lindstrom says, yeah, they didn't catch that the first time. So he goes out for a lap, comes back in, realizes, nope, something's still messed up. They catch it, give him a new front tire and a new front brake. Vial in second place, goes sideways in the second half of the rollers, in third place, excuse me. Levi Kitchen was in second place. Vial goes sideways, second half of the rollers, goes flying off the bike from third down to eighth. Goggles get buried in the mud. Gloves get buried in the mud. He then has to pull into the pits gets new goggles. Not sure if he got new gloves or not, but I know he got new goggles. Someone tried to put goggles on his head. He started shaking his head and freaking out. No, give me the goggles. That's probably not exactly what he said. He said it in a French accent, too, I bet. I like Tom Vielle. I'm not talking nothing bad about him. So, yeah, again, once again, all this is happening. Casey Cochran got an eight-second lead all of a sudden, leading for the first time in pro motocross. Has an eight-second lead. And he's making it very difficult on Levi Kitchen to try and get past him. Casey Cochran led for a very long time of this race, all the way until 7 minutes left. Casey Cochran led. And while at 7 minutes left, Tom Vielle back in the pits, changing out, or I'm not sure if they changed out his shift lever, but they were messing with his shift lever, that's for sure. Yeah, and then Kitchen at the top of Mount Martin takes the inside line, gets past Casey Cochran. I feel like this race was, a lot of it was just centered around that first turn and then seeing who's going into the pits. There was talks of taking Deegan into the pits to change his exhaust. They were wondering about something with maybe a sound test at the end of the race. Maybe if his exhaust was a little too bent up, has a hole in it, could fail the sound test. Maybe if it was just straight up fall off, losing power, stuff like that. They didn't know exactly what was going on with that exhaust. But they left him out there. Shimoda goes into the pits two times, then comes off the track, done for the race. Vielle into the pits two times. At one point was running third, had Kitchen and Casey Cochran right in front of him. Looked like he could have made a charge. Nope, he ends up 17th. Yeah, Chance Hymus doesn't make it to the hole shot line. What else? Ty Masterpool was involved in that crash as well. He ends in 10th. Jordan Smith had his troubles. And also while all this happening, Max Anstey, the English rider, Great Britain, goes on, gets a podium for the first time on his new, again, Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha team. Yeah, Levi goes out, goes 1-1 for first overall, obviously. Casey Cochran gets third overall with a 9-2. Deegan, second overall with a 3-4, extends his points lead over everybody but Kitchen. And, you know, kind of figured, hey, mistake happens. Chance Hymus dabs his foot, goes down. Deegan's involved in it. That sucks. Tough for him. Does it suck? We don't know. Don't root for injury, obviously, but kids got to learn somehow. Maybe Deegan will just go up there and be, you know, maybe grateful that he had that first-turn crash, exhaust sticking the wrong way, and he was still able to get up and salvage a fourth. I mean, yes, three of his harder competitors he didn't have to deal with, that being Chance Hymus,
Tom Vielle and Joe Shimoda. But no, he goes up and just claims that Chance Hymus did that on purpose, got all his little baby crybaby fans going, talking about how they did that on purpose, or how Chance Hymus did that on purpose. I saw a video on YouTube of a guy explaining step by step what Chance Hymus did, how he puts his leg out and then threw it backwards to kick Deegan's front wheel to take Deegan out on purpose. I don't think that dude's ever rode a dirt bike before, because nobody's going to willingly stick their foot in a front wheel of a dirt bike going, gosh, probably 30-ish miles an hour around that corner, at least. Nobody's going to be like, oh, hey, here's a good idea. Let's take my competitor out by throwing my foot in his front wheel. No, you ding dong. That's a stupid idea. So obviously Chance Hymus didn't do it on purpose. Deegan goes up on the podium, says, oh, Hymus has one coming for him now. Like Deegan, like Chance Hymus was the one who was wrong for, in quotations, cutting down or cutting him off or something stupid like that. When, watch the video in slow-mo, Deegan's drifting, Hymus starts losing the front wheel, dabs his foot to pick himself back up, give himself some support. Obviously, you hit your foot on the ground real quick going that fast, it's going to want to stick, and it's going to fly backwards a little bit. Racing incident. But nobody can tell Hayden Deegan if he's wrong about anything, because, you know, he plays by his own rules. And if nobody's going to teach him everybody else's rules, he's not going to stop. So, yeah, that's my Deegan rant of this week. Last week it was the Deegan show at Redbud. This week it's Hayden Deegan saying something stupid again. Now there's reports of him not wanting to do Motocross of Nations because I guess he's got to get surgery, plate, or hardware or something removed from his hand. But I saw someone sum this up perfectly on Twitter or X or whatever the hell you want to call it. You can't keep pulling this patriotism, American boy, national pride stuff, and then not want to go race for America and the Motocross of Nations, the biggest, biggest race of the motocross race of the year. I mean, the entire world's motocross eyes are on there. Obviously, Europe's right now focused on their MXGP and MX2 class motocross championship over there. Obviously, Americans are, I'm sure, Canadians and some people in other countries are focused on this pro motocross championship. But all eyes are on those three races that one Sunday. Deegan keeps saying all this, woe is me, I'm an American, all that stuff, and then never wants to do it. So give me Levi Kitchen at this point. Give me Chase Sexton, Justin Cooper. I would like Hayden Deegan. He's fastest, but he doesn't want to do it. And he'd probably get America banned from it for saying something stupid. But oh well. Who cares? Me a little bit, obviously, because I'm still talking about it. Let's take a look at the points here in the 250 class now. We have Deegan in front of Kitchen, who has now taken second place back over. He is back 51 points. Of course, he does that because Tom Vielle Chance Hymus and Joe Shimoda. None of them score points here. And, Tom Vielle does score points, but got 17th, so not much. And then Joe Shimoda and Chance Hymus don't score points, so able to take control by 3 points of second place. Tom Vielle, then Chance Hymus, fourth, fifth, and rounding out your top five is Joe Shimoda. So now I'll have to see if Super Motocross has their points updated. They do not, but anyway. One other thing here, Colt Nichols joined the HEP Motorsports Twisted T Suzuki team. He's going to be there for the remainder of the 2024 motocross season and looking for the Super Motocross playoffs and have a option for an extension with the team for 2025. So I don't know what it was about Beta, but they have mutually parted ways. That was a couple weeks ago now. We now see Triumph and Beta, the two brand new manufacturers to this Super Motocross series. Started with 5 riders and now only have 3 of them. Of course, that's on the Triumph side. That is Jalik Swole, Joey Savacci, and Evan Ferry started there. Evan Ferry is now gone. He is on the Wildcat Gas Gas Racing team. And then on the Beta, whatever. I think it's Beta. Yeah, we're sticking with Beta. They had the tall man, Benny Bloss, and Colt 45. And now Colt Nichols is now gone, obviously. So he should be back here for Washougal. He is not yet on the entry list. But the man, Phil Nicoletti, drinking Coors Lights, doing interviews on TV after his moto, he's on the list. How about we make some predictions that are going to be wrong? Washougal, last time all these guys were up in that part of the country, in the 250s, Levi Kitching goes out and dominates in Seattle at his home Supercross. He's now going to his home motocross, which he, of course, grew up in Washougal. He did also say it's not the best track for him, but he's got that hometown advantage. So, I mean, how can we not pick the hometown kid after we saw what he did last time he was racing in front of his hometown fans? And now looking at Washougal, I honestly might stick with Hunter Lawrence again because he's a very smart racer, knows what it takes to win. He knows he's got to stop this momentum that Chase Sexton has, and he knows he's got to stop it right now. So I honestly think Hunter Lawrence will be able to go out there maybe with a 2-1 type of finish, very close finish. I think Hunter Lawrence will be your winner. I know I picked him last time. He lost by quite a few seconds, both motos. Anyway, yeah, give me the chef, Levi Kitching, and Hunter Lawrence. So, yeah, that will be definitely be an exciting day of racing once again. So, Talking _ Moto on X. Hit me up. Give me a follow, share, like, comment, subscribe. Subscribe on here. Rating, I don't know if you can do that. Leave comments. I'm not sure if you can do that either. But, we will be back after Washougal next week. See ya.